Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cosmic Six Review. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
And today we're reviewing Warfare. Please remember to like, subscribe, follow. Please follow us on Patreon. Patreon is popping. We have all the coolest people on Patreon, and it's going great. John, what is Warfare?
Well, technically, I'm reporting to you about warfare. I guess the best way to start this off is I'm going to ask you, what are your feelings on the war genre in general?
Generally, I'm not a big fan of war movies. I just don't seek them out. But a good movie is a good movie, and that'll get me. That'll be really good. But even like Saving Private Ryan, like I respect it, I appreciate it, but I'm not like a huge fan. You know what I mean? But sometimes they, like, yeah.
I was there when Saving Private Ryan came out. I was in the theater.
Oh wow.
What I can tell you is the reason why that film is so beloved. It's kind of been aged because everything tries to be Saving Private Ryan ever since. But it was a technical marvel when it came out. I still have not felt the bullets the way that film did in the theater back when it was released. It's almost like there was some sort of magic trick to it when it was in theaters, because I would hear the bullet hit the sand and it would be so crisp
Oh,
and
wow.
like tightened. Like
Wow.
it felt like you were there. It felt like you were in the film. In a way that I'm not experiencing any other war film since.
That's pretty amazing. Wow.
I still hold that to high regard. My only problem with the war genre myself is that it seems like ever since that kind of movie, where you have a clear enemy, Nazis, that's a clear enemy, it almost gave every other war film permission to xenophobic every other war category, like the Vietnam War or the Iraq War, for example. It made every war film into, we're the heroes, we're awesome, they're the bad guys no matter what.
Yes, and as a Muslim American, I think that's kind of the core issue why I don't vibe with a lot of war movies,
Same here. American Sniper, for example,
I didn't watch it.
they actually create a villain out of thin air to give it suspense. Like a Muslim sniper that's trying to take him down, and it's like, come on, guys, come on. So that was my bias going into warfare, but I accepted it for two reasons when I got the invite. One, because it's very early. It's very early, and that shows a lot of confidence. Uh,
Because
guys,
you saw this like a month early, right?
guys, it is right now. It is time. This will be out like a week or two before it comes out. But we're recording this on the 18th of March right now,
Er
and
earlier, earlier, earlier than
I
that.
saw this 4 or 5 days ago. So that was the first signal that there's something here. There's something here. They don't do that for film. My second intuition was it's Alex Garland.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Alex Garland is not, he's a very diverse filmmaker, and he brings in a lot of diverse actors, performances. He has a pretty big worldview, even in his films. And to me, the guy who made Civil War was not going to make a war film that was xenophobic. That was kind of my thought. Like, he made a war film, there's got to be something here that he saw that he wanted to do.
Can we talk really quick? What were your thoughts on Civil War? Because we never talked about it.
I was indifferent.
Oh,
There
really?
are things that I liked about it. There are things that I thought kind of were a bit on the nose. I don't know if that makes sense. I admire, I dig the stance on the journalism angle of it. I dug all that, but I feel like it could have been stronger than it was. Like in different areas, I don't know if I could articulate why right now,
It's
but
been a while,
there are certain things that I just felt like he needed just a little more of there to make it go over the mark of greatness. You know what I'm saying?
For me, it was one of my very favorite movies from last year. I was shocked how much I loved it. But I think it's just a unique taste thing, because I know not everyone loves it the way I did.
Well, you and James actually loved it. James,
okay.
James Principal, you actually loved it too. So you're not alone in what you think.
Of course, Ex Machina is great. 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, Dread, Annihilation. Like, this guy has such a high hit rate. You hear Alex Garland, you know it's good.
As a screenwriter, I would argue Men was a little.
I need to see it. Yeah.
Men is the one movie where everybody started to question his filmmaking.
Sure.
But I have a weakness for this guy. I just do. Yeah. I like the way he shoots films. I like the way they look.
Yeah.
I like his screenplays. I always have. And I never thought, I never doubted that he was going to do that. He's even got a TV show, and I highly recommend it, Ben, called Debs. If you have not seen Debs, dude, it is so good.
I haven't seen Debs, and everyone tells me, watch Debs. So I need to watch it.
It's incredible.
I know.
So, all that to say, I sat down, I rolled in the theater and got in my spot to prepare for warfare.
Yeah.
Then I have not experienced a war film like this since Saving Private Ryan. I have not. I understand the mind's on hyperbolic. The mind. I even like whenever I talked with a few of my critic friends. So, guys, I'm debating whether I'm being hyperbolic about this, but it feels like I had the same visceral feelings that I had when I watched Saving Private Ryan,
which was 20 years ago.
Yeah, where I felt like I was there.
Wow.
Where I felt like I was immersed, where I felt like I was in the moment with them, going through everything they were going through. The movie takes place in real time. It's real time. Yeah, so it begins, I'm not going to go into full details, but it plays like a horror film. And I know that sounds weird, but you know how some horror films have this very upbeat start, where they give you that sense of that false sense of security at first, where everything is bright and bubbly, and it gives you that gut feeling that something terrible is going to happen. It gives you that immediate dread of this is not going to last. They're showing this on purpose for a reason. And the minute that it starts, then I was like, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't, I was squirming. I closed my eyes. I don't do that. I don't do it.
Okay.
I was squeamish.
Uh-huh.
There were moments where I thought I was going to have to leave the theater. Because it gets so visceral. The authentic nature of how war is is so commanding on the screen, and I felt it dizzy at one point.
Is this a roller coaster or a movie?
It is an hour and 40 minutes of what the way that I got it phrased in the current review that I'm writing is it is an encapsulation of what it's like for everyone to be involved, to be trapped in a horrible situation for 100 minutes of time.
Because it's just set in real time. Wow.
And I don't mean just one side. Yeah. I mean all sides.
Yeah.
It's 100 minutes of the worst possible thing that anybody could go through. And that involves the soldiers of America. That involves the soldier, the people in Iraq. There's without giving too much away, they are inside a home of a family. They're taken based inside a family's house, and the family is caught in the middle of it. It is one of the rare times that I can remember since the Iraq War that I've seen a filmmaker take an empathetic viewpoint towards the Iraqi people while depicting how terrible it was that the soldiers went through this. And it was, dude, I seriously, I cannot think, I don't know how anything's going to top
yeah.
in the intensity of this film.
Pretty incredible, John. Wow.
I think it's the first great film of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to stay on the top 10 for the rest of the year. I think Alex Garland and Ray Mendoza. Ray Mendoza is the, so for anybody who doesn't know, Ray Mendoza helped direct the film with Alex Garland.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the survivors of this incident. The cast, oh my God, Ben, the cast.
Yeah, can I go ahead? Can I list them?
Yeah.
Okay, so Warfare 2025, directed by Ray Mendoza and Alex Garland, written by Ray Mendoza and Alex Garland, like John said, starring DeFerra Woon Atai, Will Poulter, Cosmo Jarvis, Kit Connor, Finn Bennett, Taylor John Smith, Michael Gandolfini, Edaine Bradley, Noah Centineo, Evan Holtzman, Henry Zaga, Joseph Quinn, Charles Melton. Wow.
So I'm going to say right out the gate that Joseph Quinn and mm-hmm. Cosmo Jarvis mm-hmm. are the MVPs of this entire film. They put me through things that I never thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmo Jarvis, if y'all don't know, he was the guy from Shogun. Shogun.
Oh, no way.
He played the one
John Blackthorne.
The only white character in it. Amazing actor, amazing performer.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Quinn, Stranger Things, A Quiet Place, Day One.
Mm-hmm. Gladiator 2, Fantastic Four.
Then I can't say why. They put me through things.
Mm-hmm.
They put me through things in this film. Additionally, and I'm going to just go beyond that, mm-hmm. what I was talking about, like me feeling dizzy and stuff. There is blood-curdling screams in this
mm-hmm.
that I've never seen in a war film in my life.
Whoa.
Like, it's like just the reaction
uh-huh.
to pain, uh-huh. to physical pain. And like, uh-huh. That's why I see it's kind of like a horror film. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's an element of body horror in it.
Yeah.
Like, there's an element of body horror that I just like, that I've never seen portrayed like this.
Yeah.
Again, Ben, it's remarkable. It's an achievement. It is not for the squeamish. I cannot say it enough. Mm-hmm. It is not for the squeamish. I'm not a squeamish person.
Mm-hmm.
I handle violence all the times in films.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first one where I almost fainted, and I don't do that ever.
What do you think makes movies like this and Saving Private Ryan so visceral, so effective for you? Is it the sound design, or is it?
Thank you for that. Yeah, mm-hmm. The sound design. One example. As things start ramping up,
mm-hmm.
Then you know they're in the house, and you can hear all the way around them.
Yeah,
you can hear.
Wow.
The calls.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody's in this house, as like they're like trying to like strategize,
mm-hmm.
and like it's like you can hear the danger going around the neighborhood as it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
When the bullets hit, I have not felt that visceral sound mm-hmm. of the bullet hitting the walls and everything
mm-hmm.
in a while, where you almost like blink.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's so like piercing that you just can't keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
It plays with audio too. Like when something is detonated, like there's like that piercing sound of like
the ringing,
being inaudible.
Yeah.
It is a waking nightmare of war.
Mm.
It is not. It doesn't glorify it,
mm-hmm.
which is the one thing. Again, that's the two things that bother me about war films is that they almost feel like recruitment videos for war, and this is like. Okay, I will leave it on this note and I'll quit ranting. A friend of mine used to say that Requiem for a Dream is the movie that you want to show kids if you want to keep them off drugs.
Yeah.
This is almost the film that you want to show to keep them from recruiting.
Yeah, because it's like the horrors of war.
It is. Well, I mean, every movie kind of like conveys the horrors.
Mm-hmm.
This is an actual horror film. Like mm-hmm. it is just horrible in every level. It is
mm-hmm.
unnerving. It is. It doesn't shy away,
mm-hmm.
and it will. I mean, dude, I'm still rattled by You can tell by my response. I don't get like this about movies very much.
Yeah. And it's been like half a week and you're still raving about it.
Yeah, I'm still like, I feel like I just got out of it. I'm still on like level 12 adrenaline thinking about everything that I went through in that movie. And I came out of it. There's like a PR guy.
Yeah.
And I was going, whew. He goes, I know. I'm like, everybody acknowledged it on the way out.
So, John, would you watch this again?
I seriously thought about doing it again. Like, if they invited me for another round, I probably would.
Yeah. And even though it's such a harrowing body experience.
I probably would take, well, the reason why is I would probably take my, I got a friend, and this is another reason why I kind of appreciate it. I got a friend who fought in Iraq. I have a friend who fought in Iraq.
Yeah.
He is also, since he got home, has been very anti everything he did when he was there. Like, he is unforgiving for what they put them through. He's unforgiving. He's unforgiving for all of it. And he's very like, he's like a Bernie supporter and all that stuff. But he's gone way off the other end. Mm-hmm. And it was just very anti. So I thought about asking him if he wanted to go see this. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you are interested in a film that actually handles things appropriately, gives an empathetic viewpoint to the people in Iraq, and actually does a great job of showing that there's nothing glorious about war. There's nothing wonderful. We should support our troops, but there's nothing glorious about putting anybody through this. And there you go, man.
I want to ask, how do you feel this compares to the rest of Alex Garland's filmography? What do you think is it most similar to, or what do you think it says about his overall body of work?
I think Ex Machina is going to be the best one still.
Yeah.
This is probably rank number two for me in his directing catalog. You know, but adding the TV show, maybe Ex Machina and Devs, and then this. I think Annihilation is good. I don't think it's perfect, but maybe like number four. Okay. And then everything else. Okay. Like everything else. But that's
top four is like solid. Right.
Dude, this is a great addition to his like work. And, you know, I know he said that he thought about retiring. I think this is a great case for him not to retire. I'm like, bro, don't retire. You're good.
You want to go out when you're on top?
Like, if you need screenwriting help or whatever, get it. But don't quit. You're a good filmmaker. So,
I can't wait to see this. So this comes out April 11th. April 11th. Do you know when this review is going out? When's the embargo?
I don't. The embargo will be when you watch this.
So go run to the theater. Go get your tickets now.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch this. This sounds
so great. Good. It's a great film. Again, if you're squeamish, don't watch it. Don't watch it. If you're looking for something that really has something true to say, there's a lot of people saying there's nothing here to be said. I disagree. I think it does have something to say.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
And anyway.
All right. Fantastic. Good. Whew, heavy stuff. All right. Thanks everyone for watching. If you enjoyed our discussion, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Go check out the movie when it comes out to theaters. Let us know what you think about Alex Garland's filmography. How would you rank it? What are your favorites? Let us know in the comments. I'm Vin. You can find me on Blue Sky. Vin writes words.
I'm John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Blue Sky.
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Blue Sky and at My Cosmic Circus. We can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and fans like the ones you just watched. Make sure to follow us on Patreon. We have some, I think, even free stuff on Patreon, but also some exclusive stuff for the supporters. Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
And special thanks to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to see even more videos and extended content, please subscribe at the link in the description.
Thank you.